Welcome to the Kindred Church Podcast, where we talk about God, faith, and real life. This is Daniel Childs. I'm the host of the podcast and the pastor of Kindred Church. To learn more about how to connect with our community, check out our website at www.kindrednc.church. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're glad you've tuned in for today's episode. Now, let's talk about God. One evening, a few weeks ago, my wife Kirsten and I got into an argument. And those of you that are married, if you've been married, if you've been in a long-term relationship, maybe this will resonate with you. We were both tired. We were both stressed. It had been a long day. And we got into this argument. I don't even remember what the argument was about. But at a certain point, I lost my temper and I said something that I shouldn't have. It was one of those moments where as soon as the words left my mouth, I thought, oh, I wish I could have that back. It was personal. It was mean. I'm not going to tell you what I said. That doesn't matter, but it was hurtful. Now, eventually, Kirsten forgave me, and we got through it, and we moved on, and we're good now. But I share this with you because it illustrates something important that I want us to think about together this morning. That we human beings, at least at times, we have this tendency to be really destructive to one another, right? I bet you wouldn't have to think too far in your past to remember a time when you hurt someone, maybe even someone that you love. And if you think about it, that's not just destructive, but it's also self-destructive in a way. If you think this doesn't apply to you, I would check that with your spouse, with your close friends, with family members, and I think they'll set the record straight for you. We don't always notice it, but we don't always act on it, but we human beings have this tendency, at least at times, to be really destructive. And this tendency, it manifests itself in all kinds of different ways in our lives and in our world. It's not just that we sometimes say mean things to each other, but it's everything from greed to gossip to substance abuse to abuse and materialism. We see it showing up not just in the lives of individuals, but in our social systems too, right? In politics, in international relations even. We human beings, at least at times, have this tendency to be hurtful to others, to be hurtful to ourselves in different ways, sometimes to be hurtful to others and ourselves at the very same time. Well, there's a popular perspective on all of this that says, well, you know, all of this is unfortunate, but hey, we're only human, right? And this is just part of the human condition. So the best thing to do is just accept that this is part of the reality that we live with, and you know, let's get on with our lives. Or maybe the best way forward is just distraction, you know, try not to think about it at all. Well, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're given a very different perspective on all of this because we believe in God. And the God that we believe in is a God who just refuses to simply ignore our destructiveness. We have a God who refuses to just ignore this tendency that we have to hurt one another and to hurt ourselves in different ways. And in fact, we believe that God empowers us and God calls us into this new way of life. And this new life that God calls us into is one that's free of destruction, where we're free to live as the people God created us to be, the parents, the spouses, the friends, the family members, the neighbors that God created us to be. And this life is one that allows us to work towards that world that God intends this world to be, a world of peace, a world of justice, a world of life. So that's what I want us to spend a few minutes talking about together this morning. If you've been with us in recent weeks, you know that we've been in a sermon series called Embraced, Responding to God's Love. And we're wrapping up that series here today. We believe that God's love comes to us with no conditions. God just loves us, period. And because God loves us so much, God has desires for us. God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants us to follow Jesus. And we can't do that unless we respond to God. So in this sermon series, we've been looking at a few passages in the book of Romans, and we've been thinking about just a few of the ways that God calls us to respond. Now for this morning, here's the thing that I want us to focus on. That part of responding to God's love in our lives, part of responding to God's love means actively becoming more like Jesus. Actively becoming more like Jesus. This is so important. I mean, this is foundational to the whole Christian life. For those of you that maybe you're watching and you're not a Christian, I hope this is going to be a helpful perspective for you on what it might mean for you to become a Christian. And to see why all of this is so important, why it matters for our lives, why it matters for the world, we've got to have a little theology lesson here. And we've got to think about our human destructiveness in the light of what we believe about Jesus. And when we do that, it helps us to see, maybe in some new ways, why this really matters, why it's so important for us to become more like Jesus. So let's look for a minute at this passage from Romans 5 that we read a minute ago. And admittedly, this is a really dense part of Scripture, but it's giving us some vital information about our human condition. And it's helping us to see what God is doing about it, and it's helping us to see how God is calling us to take action and what God expects us to be doing about it. Now, the first part of this passage is going to be a tough pill for us to swallow, I think, but it's important and we need to hear this. Remember that Romans is a letter, and it was written in the first century by a pastor named Paul. And here's what Paul writes at the beginning of this passage. This is Romans 5:11. He says, "Just as through one human being, sin came into the world, and death came through sin, so death has come to everyone since everyone has sinned." So Paul drops the S word on us here. And I know sin is not something that many of us like to talk about or even to think about. I know some of us are coming from church backgrounds where this whole concept of sin gets used as a weapon to beat up on people, maybe to beat up on you. And if that's happened to you, I am so sorry. And we want you to know that that is not at all how we do things at Kindred Church. Others of us, I think, you know, we don't like to talk about sin. We don't like to think about sin just because it makes us feel bad, right? And we don't come to church to feel bad. We got enough negativity going on in our lives. We come to church to be uplifted. We come to church to hear good news. Well, there is some good news for us here in this passage, and it is really, really good news, in fact. But to see why that good news matters so much, we've got to reckon with our sinfulness. And when Paul uses this word sin, unlike too many Christians, when he uses that word sin, he's not using it as a weapon to beat up on us. But instead, Paul is actually giving us a diagnosis. He's diagnosing this human tendency that we have towards destructiveness. So I think we could think of Paul kind of like a doctor here. And he's giving us an update on our condition. So, you know, he knocks on the door, he comes in the room, he sits down, and he says, well, humanity, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. That this tendency that we have to hurt others and to hurt ourselves in different ways, it's actually worse than we thought. You know, maybe we thought that we could manage this on our own, something we could live with. Maybe we thought that we could keep this under control. But, you know, then God showed up, the God who loves us. The God who created us, God comes to be with us in this person named Jesus. And when that happened, we did our destructive thing, that thing that we've been doing ever since the very first human being, ever since Adam. We did our destructive thing to Jesus. We rejected him. We killed him. I mean, even his closest friends abandoned him to die all alone. And so if that's how we treat God, for goodness sakes, that reveals to us on a whole new level just how harmful we can be. And Paul is saying it's because of this thing called sin. We've got this thing within us that's kind of like a disease. And Paul says this whole sinful condition can kind of be summed up in just one word. And that word, he says, it's death. All of this is just death. Because as long as we've got this tendency to tear others down and to tear ourselves down, we're not fully free to live the kind of life that God intends for us. You know, God created us to love. God created us to love God and to love each other and to love ourselves. And not just partly, right? Not just sometimes. God created us to love perfectly. And so as long as we've got this disease called sin within us, it's keeping us from living that life that God intends for us. So that's the bad news, Paul says. And we don't want to hear it, but we need to understand it because sin undermines our relationships with other people. Sin undermines our relationship with God. Sin undermines even our relationship with ourselves. And all of that keeps us from living the kind of life that God wants for us. Now, that's pretty discouraging, I know, and some of y'all are thinking, wow, Daniel, this is the most depressing sermon I've ever heard. And if that was the end of the story, this really would be big trouble for us. But here's the good news, Paul says. Here is the good news for us. That's not the end of the story. And it's not the end of the story because we have a God who refuses to let sin just run its course among us and within us. We have a God who refuses to just let sin play out, but instead, God reaches out to us. And God says, hey, I'm going to heal their brokenness. I'm going to create a whole new way of life, a whole new way of being human. And it's one that's free from sin. And it's one that's free from death. In Romans 5:20 and 21, towards the end of this passage, Paul says this. He says, where sin increased, grace multiplied even more. And the result is that grace will rule through God's righteousness, he says, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is Paul lifting up one of the central mysteries of our faith as Christians, our belief that somehow in the death of Jesus, that old way of being human, that sinful, destructive way of being human, that was also put to death with Jesus. And in the resurrection of Jesus, somehow this whole new way of life, this whole new way of being human was created and it was made possible for you and for me. And we Christians have different ways of understanding exactly how Jesus' death and resurrection accomplishes that for us. We don't have time to get into all those theological details this morning. But the point here is, and if I lost you up to this point, here's the point, that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God is making a way for you, and God is making a way for me into this new life. And this new life is one that's free of sin and destructiveness. This new life is one where we can love God, where we can love each other, where we can love ourselves as God has always intended. So the message here is that our disease has a cure, and his name is Jesus. Our disease has a cure, and his name is Jesus. Now, as we think about all this, maybe it sounds pretty abstract. Maybe it sounds like all of this doesn't have a ton to do with you and me and our everyday lives. So I want to make sure that we don't miss the really practical implications of this, because this is absolutely relevant to our everyday lives. I mean, imagine for a moment, imagine how would your life be different if you were less destructive, less hurtful, and more loving? How would your relationships be different with your spouse, with your family members, with your boyfriend, girlfriend, with your children, with your neighbors? How would your relationships be different if you were less destructive and more loving? How would your relationship with yourself be different if you were less destructive, more loving? And how would the world be different if you were less destructive and more loving? Well, I think it's safe to say your life wouldn't be worse, right? It would be better, probably a whole lot better. And the world wouldn't be worse. The world would be better. So why wouldn't we want this, right? We should all want this. Why wouldn't we want a better life with better relationships in a better world? Well, that's exactly what happens when we become less sinful and more like Jesus. And the good news that we get here in Romans 5 is that God has given us this incredible gift, this free gift, that even though we could never do this on our own, God actually empowers us and God calls us into this new way of life, this new way of being human in Christ. Now, that's not some instant transformation, right? It's not some automatic thing where we just like wake up one day and suddenly we're like 100% full of love all the time. It requires an active response on our part. It's a journey that takes our entire life, and we would say even beyond this life. But if we follow Jesus on that journey, the promise for us is that we will be transformed. I wonder if you've ever noticed the way that Jesus would go about gathering new disciples, new followers. When he was going to call people to be his disciples, he would go to them and he would say, follow me, right? Follow me. That is, come in and spend time with me. Come in and get to know me. And not just me, but my other followers as well. Come be part of this community and go where I go and do what I do. And let's be on this journey together, Jesus says. And what happens is over time, by answering that call, by actively following Jesus, his followers actually themselves become more like Jesus. And it's not always easy. It's not always some smooth upward progression. There's a lot of bumps in the road for sure. But over time, by God's grace, their hearts and their lives, everything gets transformed. So I think the challenge for us is, will we answer this call in our own lives? Will we commit ourselves, or maybe recommit ourselves, to actively becoming more like Jesus as we follow Jesus together? Not just sometimes, not just when it's convenient, not just with part of our lives, but with our entire lives. Because if we do that, and if we help each other to do that, then by God's grace, we can become less and less hurtful, less destructive. We can become more and more loving, and that makes us free. That makes us free to live the kind of lives that God created us for. Let me pray for us. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for the way that you came to save sinners, and only sinners. We thank you for your unconditional love for us. We thank you that your love for us is so deep that you just refuse to leave us in our broken condition, but you come to heal our brokenness. You come to call us into a new way of life. God, give us the grace that we need to answer that call, and not just today, but every day, God, more and more fully with all of our lives. And as we do that, God, give us the grace to be transformed into the people that you've created us to be. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Kindred Church Podcast. If this episode was meaningful to you, consider sharing it with a friend who might also enjoy it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast here and give us a rating that helps us connect with more listeners. This free resource and all of Kindred's ministries are supported by the generosity of people like you. Your giving changes lives, and it helps us to share and embody God's love. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do so on our website at www.kindrednc.church. Just select Give. You can find lots of ways to connect with our community on our website, as well as on our social media pages. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next time.